Greetings from the Northwest Homeland, comrades. It's October the 7th, 2013. I'm Harold Covington, and this is Radio Free Northwest. In last week's installment of Radio Free Northwest, I mentioned the possibility that I would be trying to put together a short cast or maybe even a whole bonus episode of the show to deal with some things that I really need to get to, but I didn't have the time to address during the October 3rd episode. This won't be an extra whole episode, but it will be kind of an addendum to last week's RFN. The first of these topics is that I'm going to be redoing, expanding, and updating the Northwest Front Party Manual, the White Book, and I want to have the fifth edition out by the end of the year. This needs to be done every few years anyway, and the last one, the fourth edition, dates from October 2011, which is 2 years ago, so it's about time. What I want to do is make this fifth edition of the manual so comprehensive that it serves as a self-contained introductory packet, kind of everything you always wanted to know about Northwest independence and the Northwest imperative, but were afraid to ask. Now, we can still send out stickers and business cards and sample copies of Northwest Observer in separate introductory packets, true. But ideally, once this new edition of the White Book is in print, all people will ever need is this one book, kind of like the old National Alliance membership manual. Now, I need for you guys to contact me and tell me specifically what you think should be in the new White Book. Now, one of the things I need to hear from you on is the issue of party organization. Now, I've talked some about this issue in the past, and those of you who have been listening to the show for a while know that there's something of debate going on between those who favor what might be called the amorphous blob approach and those who want some kind of formal and hierarchical organization. One of the main problems is, of course, that anybody with any lengthy movement experience won't touch formal organization with a barge pole because we've all been simply too badly burned in the past. On the other hand, a lot of new people coming in just can't really wrap their minds around a lot of these issues. They're used to a Rotary Club approach, and they just can't seem to get into the loosey-goosey type of thing that I've been talking about on the show here. Now, somehow or other, we're going to have to bring those two schools of thought together. Now, I've already told you that certain things are absolutely out, like membership cards. There is no way that I'm going to risk another John Hinckley or another Steve Amplo getting hold of a card. But on the other hand, it's clear that what we're doing so far isn't working. But is that just because Americans can't wrap their minds around an organization that is an organism? Or is it because of the approach itself? Now, I have my own ideas, but the trouble is that they involve something that is just as hard. Somehow, I have to get large numbers of American white people to change their thinking and change their behavior. And as any psychologist or advertising man or political consultant can tell you, that is damn near impossible. That's why our American politicians always tend to pander rather than to present new ideas or try to persuade Americans of anything. With Americans, it's always good to just go with the flow. Now, we are going to have to find some way to get this thing moving. Some way that will achieve the heretofore impossible, which is to get white Americans to respond and participate in genuine revolutionary politics. Not these silly dog and pony shows every couple of years with campaign buttons and bumper stickers and cable talk shows. Now, since you guys are the ones I'm trying to finagle into doing this, you are obviously the ones I should consult with on how to do it. The second of these subjects that I want to discuss is that I'm planning on preparing a series of commentaries for Radio Free Northwest about the 2006 draft Constitution of the Northwest American Republic, the basic statement of law and principle which will, in some finalized form, replace the rule of the United States within the Northwest homeland, whenever and however we decide that it's time to graduate from junior high school and we start taking all this seriously. We need to start emphasizing the things that make the Northwest Front better than the rest, and the things that make us fit to secure the existence of our people and the future for white children. One of these is our Constitution. Now, this is the first time in the history of our wee little movement that any white nationalist group or movement has actually sat down and formally planned and stated in chapter and verse just what it is that we intend to replace the old order with. Unlike any other white nationalist group or tendency, we actually have a plan, and back in 2006 was the first time you were allowed to get a glimpse of it. I've always been surprised that there have been so few questions about the draft Constitution. Sometimes I wonder how many of you have ever bothered to sit down and actually read the document and think about how it would work in practice out there in the real world. Well, I suppose I really can't complain, since almost none of you have actually read the United States Constitution either. Now, if you haven't read the new Constitution, then you can find it in the back of your 4th edition white books and also on the NorthwestFront.org website. Please, read it and study it, because we're going to ask you to fight and maybe die for it someday. And by the way, this is not an invitation to rewrite the Constitution to include everybody's eccentricity, so please don't send in demands that we insert anybody's individual obsessions and hobby horses into the document. Not happening. This Constitution is not just another one of Harrell's works of fiction. That 2006 draft was the result of months of effort on the part of a for-real constitutional committee of about 36 people, including most of the order men who were still alive at the time, such as David Lane and Bruce Pierce and David Tate. So the actual contents and provisions of the document are locked down, and we're not going to criminalize other people's religion or order everybody to wear white socks on Thursdays or anything like that. One thing I've noticed down through the years about movement people, and white people in general, they generally pass laws and use the force of law not to do what they want to do, but to prevent other white people whom they don't like from doing the things that they want to do. Now, one of the worst aspects of the American character is this overpowering obsession we have with telling other people how to live their lives. That's not going to apply to law and the Constitution and the Republic. We're going to create an all-white society through our own courage and effort, and then we're going to set our people down within the parameters of that all-white society to live as freely as they can within those bounds. And they'll be very generous bounds, because there won't be really much need for too much law, because the people who caused the problems which gave rise to all these laws we have today, the blacks and the browns and the Jews and the politicians and the lawyers, they won't be around. Now, don't worry, there will come a time for changes and rewriting, and everybody will get to have their say. Now, that time will come when the real-life Freedom Sons begins, and we're all sitting in that statehouse in Olympia or Salem or wherever with weapons in our hands, and we have convened the Constitutional Convention to decide for real how we want to live our lives. Now, I would like for you guys to send me serious comments and questions on the existing document, which I will try to answer as I attempt to convey just how important this is and how an all-white society would work in practice, because that's something that we have almost never sat down and thought about. Well, it's the first time for everything. Actually, I've already gotten a few responses as the result of the October 3rd show. Now, this one showed up in the comment section of the Homeland blog from some guy named Farron. Now, I'm going to have to edit this a little bit because it gets kind of discursive at points, but it goes like this. Dear Harrell and comrades, as you asked in the last RFN, here's my opinion on the Northwest Republic's draft constitution, which I've determined from reviewing the material on your site. I don't think that any form of democracy is either worthy or appropriate for Aryan people, and I'm reclaiming the word Aryan from any negative association instead of Caucasian or European. Colin Jordan's conception of National Socialism is far nobler and more appropriate for us. It's based on the aristocratic principle as opposed to the democratic one. The ideological tradition Jordan was representative of can be appreciated by considering who his mentor was, i.e. Arnold Leese, the leader and founder of the Imperial Fascist League. Leese's racial fascism is in many ways identical with the pure National Socialist idea after the Second Revolution involving the creation of the Waffen-SS. And I'm not sure what Farron means by that. Oh yeah, he explains that later on. I think that James Miller has a very similar view of what real fascism is and what it involves in constitutional terms. The chief slogan of the IFL and of Jordan's vanguard of the future was, "Democracy is death." Now, if you want the fascist philosophy spelled out in as much detail as possible, I can only advocate the political philosopher Anthony Ludovici, although I think his efforts to promote the rebellion of the English nobility against Parliament were doomed from the start. He made the mistake of trying to use racial conservatism as the vehicle to promote his teachings, when he should have focused on trying to mobilize the more racially sound lower classes like Adolf Hitler did. The plus side is that we have some excellently written political philosophy in his works. We should use this in the construction of our Constitution. It's invaluable, and William Simpson agrees with me. Now, don't get me wrong here. I'm not advocating a return to feudalism with kings and princes, etc. The principles of good rulership are timeless, e.g. today a king would be called a commander, the knight is now a soldier, the aristocracy is now the party, etc. Anyone who actually reads these works closely will see clearly that what he's teaching isn't really conservatism at all, it's fascism, which is the Aryan system of government, despite the term not being coined until Mussolini came to power in Italy. And this same sort of method for taking power he employed is the only option left to us now. Therefore, I have issues with parts 1 and 2 of your present plans for the Constitution, especially part 2 on government and administration. Presently, the plans for the Constitution resemble more the earlier type of National Socialism found in Mein Kampf and embodied in the Stormtroopers. Actually, Farron, no, it's not primarily a National Socialist document at all. In point of fact, it resembles the original 1787 American Constitution, but I'll get into that a bit. The Democratic version was suitable for Hitler to gain power via the ballot box, as this option was available to him. However, I believe that there was a second NS revolution after the SA and party structure had served their purpose and had then become potential nests for traitors. It coincided with the formation of the Waffen-SS and a much more elitist or aristocratic ethos, which replaced the more democratic one. It's this purer form of National Socialism as embodied in the Waffen-SS that needs to be adopted. So, in terms of politics, to clean out the Augean stables, I would strongly urge you to get rid of the idea of a republic, along with all its democratic underpinnings, and instead adopt the idea of a Reich, which simply means realm in English and reminds us of the achievements of the Third Reich. I would argue for a North American Reich. I would flush out terms like election committee, president, and all that sort of democratic Jew-think dog shit. Superior officers should be the only ones electing anyone. Instead of the committee, we should have the council, which is convened only for the purpose of advising the party members, i.e. the new aristocrats, and the term commander is far more preferable to El Presidente, or any other man from Del Monte, for that matter. In ancient Rome, originally the meaning of the word emperor was commander, which should now also be its more modern form. Interesting that he should mention ancient Rome, since some of the principles of the Northwest Constitution resemble the original Roman Republic, such as the concept of tribunes of the people in the form of the parliamentary opposition, but I'll get into that later on as well. Lastly, I want to comment on the aesthetic style of the NF and point out what I believe to be improvements. From what I see, you need a few more identifying symbols. After much reflection, I think that the Odal rune should be the NF symbol for several very good appropriate reasons. Firstly, the rune means sacred enclosure and applied to the homeland of the folk. Think Butler Plan. It was used by those Vikings who had to leave their overcrowded fatherland and found their own new fatherland somewhere else. What could be a more appropriate rune for the pioneer spirit than this? Even from the perspective of the Celtic or Celtic tradition, the Odal rune is cognate with the sacred torque that the nobles and royalty wore, indicating their obedience to the divine order. It should be at the center of the flag in ruby red, seen against the white band, looking like fire against ice, because the sacred union is one of Aryan blood. To close, I would recommend your own Aryan eagle symbol. The eagle is the prime symbol of the Aryan race, in my opinion. Not a German or European eagle, nor the Russian double-headed eagle, nor even a bald eagle, but something like this. And at the end of this great video by the European Watchman, anyway, he gives a YouTube link. As for my situation, I'm in the last year of a university degree, after which I plan on making every effort to come home. Finest regards, Farron. Dear Farron, okay, first off, I say again, we are not rewriting the 2006 draft constitution. That document was put together with the input of some of the top people in the existing movement, including some who are dead now, like Rick Cooper and some of the order men. And we don't monkey with anything David Lane had a hand in, at least not until we've won the struggle and we can assemble a constitutional convention like I describe in Freedom's Sons, which will use this draft as a foundation and a starting point for the actual NAR constitution. Secondly, I have to remind you yet again, Farron, that while I am a National Socialist myself, and I've never made any bones of the fact, there are a lot of white people who aren't, and the Northwest American Republic is not going to be a National Socialist state per se, or some kind of clone of the Third Reich. It's going to be a white homeland, or Aryan if you prefer. but not one restricted to any particular ideology. Now, I say yet again, we are a movement of blood, not faith. And that includes secular, nationalistic, and political faiths, as well as religious faith. What unites us is our race, and that's the all-important thing. Now, I know I've gotten flack in the past from my fellow Nazis for allegedly not being pure enough because I don't wear the costume anymore, and they say I'm betraying the Führer by hanging around with pagans and Christian identity types, but hey, it is what it is. Within the parameters of the white race, the Republic has to be a big tent. Thirdly, about your wanting to put an Odal rune on the flag, now that one is me, and I very deliberately left that white field in the tricolor blank. No swastikas, no runes, no crosses, no crinkle jammers, no half-assed swastika substitutes. My idea is that you either use the real deal or nothing at all. No sectarian emblems of any kind that would identify the state with any one of our people's religions or tendencies. Blood people, not faith. Another big reason for not putting a crinkle jammer on the flag is the fact that, politically speaking, Americans are as dumb as a bag of hammers, and they simply won't understand it. We have a hard enough row to hoe ahead of us, in that we have to get Americans to understand and respond and react like Europeans, and an older version of European at that, which has so far proven to be damn near impossible. Now, with Americans, you need to achieve and maintain a nice, smooth flow of mild and non-threatening ideas to slowly wash the mush out of their skulls, gradually and painlessly. Any time you have to stop and explain something, you've lost them. This is especially true with anything historical or spiritual, or anything that is non-material, anything that doesn't deal with something Americans can stuff into their mouths or play with. Golly, Vern, what the hell's that thing on that flag? Looks to hell like a crinkle jammer to me. Looks like something furrin. Now, that's not much of an exaggeration. Trying to force any kind of new idea into an American's skull full of mush is like pulling teeth. However, the rest of your email gets into something that I was talking about yesterday with one of our people who asked me how leaders would be chosen in the Republic. And this, I think, addresses your concerns about creeping democracy and elections and committees and whatnot. First off, as you will see from reading the 2006 draft, the Republic is not, in fact, a democracy. Now, don't be fooled by the fact that there are elections every 6 years. The fact of voting does not of itself imply a liberal democracy. It depends on who's doing the voting. Now, in the NAR, the voter rolls consist of a racially homogenous white citizenry, none of whom have just been handed a vote for being more or less humanoid, and all of whom have earned their vote or votes through service to the state, the community, and the race. There is also a graduated franchise so that the votes of those who achieve more and provide more and whose services are of the greatest value to society have the most say in the political process. And that's not democracy. It's just common sense. Democracy is where the vote of a bubble-lipped, nappy-headed, shit-skinned crack whore is worth the same as the vote of a nuclear physicist, and where the nigger crack whore, in essence, sells her vote to the ruling party, in this case the Democrats, who in return give her a stolen share of white people's wealth. Now, that's democracy as practiced today in Obama's America, wherein the regime taxes or borrows or prints money in order to buy the votes of blacks, browns, union members, and assorted white dumbasses in order to keep themselves in perpetual power. Contrast this with a citizenship role of educated, informed, civic-minded white men and women who understand what's going on in the world, electing the members of an executive branch of government and a legislature of other educated, informed, and civic-minded white people who have demonstrated their worth through service to their country and in the military and industry, so forth and so on. Now, that is roughly the way it was supposed to be back in 1787 when the U.S. Constitution was originally put together. Most people don't know that under the original rules, there was a property qualification to vote, and senators were appointed by state governors and not elected, among other things. Now, the role of the party in the Northwest Republic will be to produce an educated, skilled, and intelligent governing class for the country, or ruling elite if you prefer. Every country has one. I think the one thing that the past 230 years of catastrophe and corruption demonstrates is that government and statecraft and diplomacy need to be studied and learned as a science from a very young age. Government is simply too important to be left to amateurs. We don't need politicians. We need political technicians. And that's what the 2006 Constitution provides for. Anyway, I just want to take a few minutes to kick off a discussion, which I hope we'll be continuing over the next few weeks on the regular show. So, let's have those constitutional questions and comments from the listeners I asked for. Radio Free Northwest is brought to you by the Northwest Front, Post Office Box 4856, Seattle, Washington 98194, or you can go to the party's website at www.northwestfront.org. This is Harold Covington, and I'll see you Wednesday or Thursday afternoon. Until then, Sarsha Andaban. Freedom.